Welcome, Vineyard. Welcome to the Vineyard. Welcome to those of you joining us online, whatever place or space you're in. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome our online audience with us today? Come on, let's give them some love. And so before I get into the message today, I just want to take a moment and pause, and if we can say a prayer together for our neighbors to the north with the Surfside and the building collapse, and we've all seen it. So let's just take a moment. Let's pray together. So God, we continue to lift up before you, God, those affected, those families, those loved ones, God, the first responders, God, everyone that's affected, God, by this building collapse. It's just so gut-wrenching to see it. But God, we know this. We know that you are close to the brokenhearted. You save those, God, who are crushed in spirit. So God, we pray today that you would reach out with your love and your comfort and your presence, God, upon everyone that's affected. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this weekend, we continue in our series we started last weekend, Samson. And if you haven't ever heard of Samson before, Samson is a guy in the Bible, and his life was something else. And we're going to see more about his life unfolding here in just a moment as we're in part two of this series. But I just want to say this as we get started here today, that I'm so excited about this series and this weekend, because as I look out, there's so much potential in this room and joining me online. So much potential with those of you that, and if we will, so much God-given potential, and if we will align our hearts and our minds and our wills and our emotions with God, there's no limit to what God can do in and through you. And here's what I believe. I believe there are hundreds of people in this room and joining me online who want to do just that. You want to see yourself reach the fullest possible potential God has for you. So, anybody with me? Yeah, amen. All right. If you're online, you're with me, just put all in. Pastor Kevin, I'm all in. So we're looking at a guy named Samson, because this was a guy that had this incredible potential, but he squandered it again and again and again. So just a quick backstory to Samson to bring you up to date. Samson lived a couple thousand years ago, Bible times. Samson, the nation of Israel, the Jews, were held in captivity by the Philistines. And God said, you know, it's time that my people get set free from captivity. And so he raised up this guy, Samson. And the Bible says from the time Samson was born, and the time he was a young boy, you could sense the Spirit of God on him. And Samson could do these incredible feats of strength that no other human being could possibly do, because the Lord was with him. But even in all this potential, even with this God-given strength, Samson continued self-destructive behaviors again and again and again. In fact, if we could summarize last weekend this way, here'd be a summary. Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. All this potential, all this God-given potential, Samson, to make a difference in the world, to make a difference in his family, to make a difference for the kingdom of God, to make a difference in the lives of others, and nothing to show for it, or very little to show for it. And look, I don't want that to be our legacy. I don't want people to say, but you wanted all this potential. Jasmine had all this potential, but she squandered it, or he squandered it. Rather, I want them to say, Juan, that guy reached his fullest potential. Jasmine, oh, if you knew Jasmine, she rocked it. She reached her fullest possible potential. That's what I want people to say about you and me. So let's look at the life of Samson, see what we can learn. So I'd love for you to locate an outline, if you would. Here's how you locate an outline. The outline is located on our Miami Vineyard app. And if you haven't yet downloaded the app, very easy to do. Go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. You can download the app. Or if you're in the room today, in the seatbacks in front of you, there's a QR code. Aim your camera at the code and it'll take you right there, and you can download our Miami Vineyard app. On the app, if you want to take a few notes, you can. It's more than just an outline. It's Miami Vineyard Church on your phone. So if you're taking notes today, here we go. I want to start with this sentence. You might notice at the top of the outline, Samson, if you're taking notes, Samson was emotion-driven, not spirit-led. Someone go, Pastor Kevin, what's wrong with emotions, man? I thought emotions are great. They are. Emotions are wonderful. Emotions are God-given. They're from God. Emotions are good. I think about the emotions of joy and happiness and love. I think about the day Debbie and I got married. By the way, we'll be married 35 years next month. It was an arranged marriage at birth, and so we've been married ever since that time.
Sorry.
So, but I think about, I can remember that day like it was yesterday, standing in front of a minister at a small church in Iowa, and I think of the flood of emotions coming over me, the strongest one being, what am I getting myself into? I think about our firstborn son being born at South Miami Hospital right here in Miami 30 years ago. And I think about the amazing, just overwhelming joy of seeing your firstborn coming into this world. And then I think about having four more kids over the next 7 years and a little less joy. And then I think about, I think about today, all of our five kids graduated from college. All living on their own, apart from us at the house. So now it's just Debbie and I in the house, and I think about what's the word for like really, really, really a lot of joy. So anyway, but it's not just positive things, right? We have emotions for the negative things. I think about loss. I think about the emotion of grief. Nobody wants to grieve, but have you ever thought about the gift that grief is? It's a gift. It's a God-given emotion to help us process loss. I think about the collapse of the tower. I think about all our lives. I mean, some of you today are going through some grief and whatever issue it might be. It's not just when somebody passes away. Grief, when you lose anything, can be grief. Grief is a God-given. And I tell people this all the time. Look, you've got to know. Grief is a blessing. Grief is a blessing. Because without the emotion of grief, you would carry the heartache and the pain of that event around with you for the rest of your life. So grief is a blessing from God. All that to say, emotions are God-given and amazing. But here's the deal. We shouldn't be led by emotions. Emotions can't lead us. I think about the emotion of falling in love. Right? Has that always been a good thing for you, falling in love with different people? No, probably not. I can think of times in my life where falling in love was not the best deal. Or how about anger? I mean, nobody would know anything about that in this place, but I mean, how many of us have a story in our lives where the anger, you know, got the best of us? And you know, I think about, I'm by nature not a real angry dude. I'm just not wired that way. But I'm telling you what, when I drive in Miami traffic, something happens to me. Come on, anybody else driving in traffic? Come on. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is about it, but some driving. So years ago, it's just, I don't know, something just happens. So I'm on the Palmetto Expressway and somebody drove in front of me and cut me off. And my anger went from 0 to 60. So I didn't think about it. I just reacted and I drove and cut him off. And then I wouldn't let him get around me. He tried to go left, I cut him off left. Tried to go right, cut him off right. Left, right, left, right. I'm cutting him off the whole time because I'm just angry. I'm a pretty passionate dude. And then I'm just angry. And then my anger subsides, goes away. And so I just moved to the side and thought he would go around me. He didn't go around me. He stayed right on my tail. And I'm thinking to myself, looking in the rearview mirror going, I am so stupid. I am so stupid. I'm so stupid. Like, it's Miami. He could have a gun. I don't know. It's Miami. And so I exit the Palmetto thinking he'll just go. No, follow me off the exit. I'm on the surface streets going, turning this way on my butt, turning this way on my tail, turning this way on my tail, turning this way on my tail. Just follow me around. Like I'm going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I didn't know. And I'm getting close to my house. I'm going, I can't turn into my own driveway. I can't show this guy where I live. So I didn't know what I was going to do. So all of a sudden, I look up, and there's a church And I just turned into the church. I didn't know what I was thinking. I just turned into the church, and he just went right by. I guess he wanted nothing to do with God. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Whew, I was so grateful. By the way, church is the answer for everything. I just want you to know. But this whole thing, what was I doing? I was being led by an emotion. Never good to be led by an emotion. So let's see how some of this plays out in Samson's life. So again, if you missed last weekend, Samson went and married a woman that God told him not to marry. God said, look, I want you to marry someone who has the same God you do. Do not marry a Philistine woman or a Philistine man. Don't marry that person. They're serving a different God. They're serving a different God, and I don't want you to marry them. But Samson didn't care. Samson had a thing for Philistine women, as we're going to see play out over the next several weeks. And Samson went and married this Philistine woman. And so there's this big wedding happening, this big party going on, and there's these Philistine guys around, and it's a, you know, big party. Weddings in the Bible times happen for like a week long, and there's drinking involved and all kinds of stuff involved. And so there's 30 guys, these 30 Philistine guys around Samson, and Samson's thinking to himself, let's have a little fun. And so Samson says, hey, let's have a little competition. And he said, I'm gonna tell you a riddle. And if you can answer the riddle, he said, let's put a wager on it. So he says to these 30 guys, he says, look, if I win, you owe me 30 sets of clothes, linens, the Bible says linens, 30 sets of clothes. You owe me 30 sets of clothes. He said, and if I lose, then I owe you 30 sets of clothes, which is a really stupid bet for Samson. Because if they lose, they just got to provide one each. If he loses, he's got to provide all 30. But you know, he may be strong, but not always the smartest dude in the room. So Samson gives him a riddle, and we pick it up on your outlines in Judges chapter 14, verse 14. Here's the riddle. Here's the riddle he gave those 30 guys: out of the eater something to eat, out of the strong something sweet. And they're supposed to say what that was. Well, they had no idea what that was, but we know what that was from last week. Because last week we talked about how Samson, God gave Samson the supernatural strength. A lion attacked him. He ripped apart the lion. He tossed it to the side of the road and stayed there for a while. And a hive of bees came and set up shop inside that carcass of that lion. And so there's honey in there. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about his feat of strength. They didn't know what he did, but he did. So the Bible says for 3 days they could not get the answer. And so they go to his wife. His new wife, and they say, hey, you're a Philistine. You're one of us. So look, you got to get this out of him. So pick up the next verse 16. Then Samson's wife threw himself on him, sobbing, you hate me. You don't really love me. You've given me a people. You give my people a riddle, but you haven't told them the answer. Haven't told me the answer. She cried the whole 7 days. And if you've been married longer than one day, you know the story. Happy wife, happy life. So Samson gives in to her, tells her the answer. She tells the 30 guys, and he's furious. And then notice what he said the next verse. He says, so he's angry. Notice what he said. Samson said to them, if you have not plowed with my heifer, you would have not solved my riddle. Now look, he's calling his new bride a heifer, a cow. Okay, look, guys, listen to me. I don't care how angry you are. Never call your wife a heifer. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Okay, never, 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 never. But he's angry. He calls her a heifer. And so, and then this is what happens when emotions lead. He's emotion driven, and he falls victim to the. Listen, there's two emotions that can take strong people down. I want to hit on both of them today. Notice if you're taking notes today, here's two emotions that can take strong people down. Here's the first one. Number one, Samson burned with anger. He burned with anger. Look what happened after this whole event happened. Because Samson had to come up with 30 outfits, right? Look what he did. Samson went down to this town, Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes up to those who had explained the riddle. 30 innocent men had to die because of one man's anger. Now, I don't think any of us in the room or joining online are probably going to get angry enough to go out and kill 30 innocent people. But you know, we do kill people often, not knowing it. You know how we kill them? Character assassination. We say things about people. We gossip about people. We post things on social media about people, and we assassinate people's character, sometimes by the tens and hundreds, by what we say about people, because we're angry. We're angry what happened. We're angry about this. We're angry about that. And instead of letting the anger subside and channeling the anger in a positive way, we just, we put it out there. He said, well, it's just words. Oh, words hurt. Amen. Words can rip apart a family. Some of you know that. Yes. Words can rip apart a relationship. Words can rip apart a business. Yes. Yes. There's businesses that have fallen apart because of gossip in the business, and two people won't talk to each other anymore, and the whole business falls apart. Come on. You can rip it apart. So we've got to be really careful with this anger. But anytime we react out of an emotion, it's never good. But Samson wasn't done. Look what it says in the next verse 19. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him at his wedding. So what's going on? What's going on is this. We don't know how long Samson was out killing these 30 guys. We don't know how much time elapsed in this whole process. But all we know is this. There had to be enough time that elapsed that the family of the bride thought Samson left her at the altar. Samson's not coming back. Months went by. He's not coming back. And the family's not going to be stiffed with this bride, not giving it to somebody. So the bride was given to another guy. And now Samson is really angry. So the Bible talks about how Samson, so mad, he's just so angry. Samson caught 300 foxes, the Bible says. And he tied their tails together. So 150 set of foxes. He tied their tails together, and then he lit a torch and put it between the foxes, and he sent them all loose into the crops of the Philistines. And those foxes completely wiped out the crops of the Philistines. Every grove was wiped out. Every vineyard, every grain, the entire life of the Philistines was wiped out. And now the Philistines are furious, and they went and killed that wife and all her family. This is what out of control anger does. And if we get honest here today, almost every one of us can tell a story of a time in our life where our anger got the best of us. And we all wish there was something maybe we could get back. And perhaps some of us here and joining online, we live with a sense of regret. But can I tell you this? Here's what you got to know. God is a God who redeems. And God is a God who restores. And we're going to see this. Now, you got to come. You got to make sure you're here for all four parts of this series where we started last week. If you missed last week, go catch it on YouTube. Catch part one. Part two today, three, four, next 2 weeks. And as we move into part four, you're going to see just a great way that God, in his mercy, can restore and redeem. And so, but this is what out of control anger does. Now, look, anger's not a sin, by the way. Getting angry is not a sin. The Bible says that God gets angry. There's things we ought to be angry about. Angry about injustice. Angry about when things aren't done right and righteousness and all these kinds of things. So anger is not a sin. It's how we handle it. It's what we do with it. But anytime we react immediately out of anger, nothing positive ever happens. You got to let anger has to have, you got to give anger some time. That's how we handle it. You think about Samson. I mean, honestly, what did Samson really have to be angry about? Think about his life. He was the one who pursued the wrong woman. He was the one who decided to marry her. He was the one who ignored all of the parents' advice. He was the one who taunted the Philistines. He was the one who gave the answer away. He was the one who abandoned his wife to go and kill the Philistines. He's mad at the world. And it's really his own fault. How many times are we angry and mad at the world? And if we simply come back to think about it a little bit, it's probably we're a huge contributing factor to it. So anger is the first emotion that can bring a strong person down. But let me give you the second one today, just two today. Here's the second one if you're taking notes. Samson was filled with pride. So he's burning with anger, right? He's already burning with anger. And look what he did. Verse 15 of Judges 15, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. 1,000 men. This is one bad dude. This is Maximus, the Incredible Hulk, and the Black Panther all rolled into one. This is a bad dude. And then notice what he says in verse 16. Next verse, verse 16. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. Now look what's going on here. First of all, he's taking credit for everything that happened when really it was his strength was given to him by God, not by him. He's taking all the strength for it. But look what he says. With a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. Now the Bible is being very polite there, because there's another word for donkey that we all know. If you're joining us online right now, just type that word in the chat. No, I'm just playing. Don't type that word in the chat. But what he's saying here very simply, he says, look, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made a beep out of all of them. That's what he's saying. I've made all of them. But he's also making a statement of pride. Look, I have done this. I have killed 1,000 men. It's pride. I mean, think about our lives. Why do we wrestle with this one so much? Why do we wrestle with pride and ego so much? I mean, when they're giving out awards at school, or they're giving out awards at work, or they're giving out awards for an organization you're a part of, or an athletic team that you've been a part of, they're giving out awards, and people are getting awards, but you're not. Why does that? Why can't we be happy for the people getting the award? Amen. But we're not. We're like unhappy. We're like, that stupid boss, stupid job, stupid. We go kick a chair, and then we get mad, and we kick the chair with the same foot we just hurt. I mean, what do we do that stuff? Or how about this? This is what we do. Think that somebody shows you a picture, whether it's three people or 30 people or any number in between. Somebody shows you a picture, and you're in it, right? You're in a group photo, and you're in it. Who's the first person you try and locate? There could be 30 people in the picture. You don't even care about the other 29 because you're looking at you. And if they show you the picture on their phone and you don't look good in it, what do you tell them? Don't post that. It's their picture. What is up with us? When we lead with pride and selfishness and ego, it's never a good thing. We will compromise common sense when we lead with pride. Many of you have heard the saying, pride goes before the what? Before the fall. That's actually in the Bible in Proverbs 16:18. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We've reduced it down to say pride goes before the fall, which is just fine. But pride goes before the fall. It's what Samson did. He's taking all the credit for something as if it's his own. It's pride. And here's, there's a good pride. Like, you should have pride in yourself. Yes. Take pride in your work. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But when I'm talking about pride, when I talk about pride, I'm talking about this. I'm talking about, it's thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. That's pride. And if we get honest, we're all guilty of this from time to time. We all say, I got this. I can handle this. I don't need any help. I don't even need God. The ultimate statement of pride is when a person says, I don't need God. I mean, think of the audacity of that. To say, I don't need God. He's the one who created us. Amen. He's the one who made us. Yes, we wouldn't be here without God. The audacity to say, I don't need God, is the ultimate statement of pride. But we all do this. Like we say, I can make this marriage work. I don't need a stupid therapist. I don't need one of those counselors. I'm going to make this marriage work. It's pride. I can handle this temptation. I can stop at any time. Well, then why don't you? It's pride. Is pride. I don't need one day off a week. I don't need to take a vacation. Because if I take a vacation, this business, this organization, this whatever, is going to fall apart without me. There was one year, years ago, where the church was growing and we were making this whole thing happen. It was a busy time, and I did not take a vacation that summer because I thought the church would fall apart without me. Major mistake. It was pride. Anytime this pride thing starts getting on us and you start feeling like all that, like I'm all this and I'm all that, and like I'm really important and this thing wouldn't work without me, here's what I want you to do. Take a glass of water. Okay, take a glass of water, put your finger in the water, and make a hole. Take your finger out and see how long that hole lasts.
Amen. Amen.
That's about how important you are.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes this pride thing just gets the best of us. And how about our accomplishments? You know, do we give any credit to God? Or do we say things as, I earned this, I closed this deal, I got the degree, I built this company, I'm making all this happen? I want you to look at this verse in the book of Deuteronomy, one of my favorite verses. It says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth. Remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. For it is he who has given you this ability. This company that you built, this real estate business you built, this organization you built, this degree you got, you name it. That didn't happen without God. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given us the ability to earn this. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given us this ability. But people say, you know, Pastor Kevin, man, I bought that house. I bought that car. My name's on the deed. My name's, I got to make those payments. I'm working hard for my money. I'm getting that paycheck. Yeah. Yeah? Really? Who's giving you the beats of your heart right now?
Amen.
Who's giving you breath to be in your lungs right now?
Yes.
Who's giving you the hands to work with, the brain to think with? God did. God did. God's doing all of that. And the Bible says, look, the Bible says, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength, my hands have produced it, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce this wealth.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is why it's so important. This is why when God says, honor me with the first part, to give that first 10% back to me of your wealth, of your income, of every income stream, honor me with the first 10%. God says, why? So we can remember that it comes from God. It all comes from God. It's all his. It all comes from him. And I really don't know anybody who's honoring God with the first 10% of their income who gets stuck in this mode like I did all this. They know they didn't do all this. Because God, they're honoring God with the first 10%. This is why it's so important that we honor God with this first 10%. Because it's for so many more reasons, but one of them, the big one, is right here, that I will honor God. And God says, look, honor me. Know that this comes from me. It comes from me, so honor me in this way. See, the solution to being overcome with pride is simply humbling ourselves before God. It's the realization that everything I've done and everything I've accomplished is all because of him. It's realizing he's God and I'm not. Christianity 101. He's God and I'm not. There for the grace of God go I. There for the grace of God go you. There for the grace of God. I wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for the grace of God. You wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And so God, today, God, we just tell you today, God, we surrender ourselves again to you. And I want to do something right now. I want us to pray together right now. And what I want to do, even as we're praying right now, I want to read just a few verses from the Bible to you. And if you just, you can, they'll be on screen. If you want to look at them, you can. Or if you just want to close your eyes and just let these verses speak to your soul, you can do that as well right now. It's from the book of Proverbs. Listen to these verses in light of what we're talking about today. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. So God, we say yes to all of that. And God, we say, God, in this place today, in this moment, when right now, God, we say again to you, God, it's all yours. Everything, God. I wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for you. And so God, we say collectively today, God, that we surrender ourselves to you. All of us, God. Our whole self, we surrender ourselves to you. And I just want to invite you right now, maybe to do something. If whether it's your first time surrendering or it's your 1,000th time surrendering, but you want to say to God today in this moment, God, I surrender myself to you. I want you just to stand up in this room, just all over this room, just stand up. You're saying, God, I surrender myself to you. Whether it's the first time or 1,000th time, or you've done it, you just did it this morning. Maybe you want to do it again right now. Just, you want to stand up in this moment, in this time, in this space, and you want to say, God, I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself to you, God. God, I'd be nothing without you. Jesus, you told us in John 15 that you are the vine and we are the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing, not a zip. So God, today, in this room, and you're joining online, just stand up wherever you're at online. Just stand up wherever you may be. Just stand up and say, God, I surrender myself to you today. Just get up off the couch and just stand up right now. Just in front of your TV, just stand up right now. In front of your laptop, just stand up right now. In front of your phone, just stand up right now. And just say, God, I'm in. And so look. Some of you need to say, tell God today, God, I surrender my marriage to you. I surrender my job to you. I surrender this search for my house to you. I surrender this health issue to you. God, I surrender this relationship to you. God, I surrender, God, whatever it is, God, I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. I give it all to you, God. I surrender it, God, to you. God, I surrender my finances to you. And God, I'm going to honor you, God, with the first 10%. God, I'm going to honor you with that. I know I haven't been, but I'm going to start today to honor you, God, with that first 10%. I'm going to honor you, God, because God, it's all yours. God, I surrender, God, to you. And God, I thank you for the potential, God, that's in this room and joining online. When we surrender to you, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man or a woman who's completely surrendered to him. And God, we surrender ourselves to you today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.